You're listening to The Public's Radio. I'm James Baumgartner, and this is Artscape. This week, we're highlighting two museums in Newport. In a few minutes, we'll hear about an exhibit at the Newport Historical Society that asks the visitor to take a different look at the American Revolution. But first, the Newport Art Museum has a show called Sean Landers, Lost at Sea. It features some of the nautical-themed work of painter Sean Landers. As you approach the gallery, you first pass through a hallway lined with etchings by Winslow Homer. The prints are from the Newport Art Museum's permanent collection, but they were selected by Sean Landers to accompany the paintings.
When I first started to want to learn to paint water, I looked toward Winslow Homer to sort of teach me how to do it. I looked at books of his paintings, and I went to the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York and looked at what they had there. And whenever I'd be visiting a New England art museum, I would sort of keep my eye out for a Homer.
The etchings show various aspects of life on or around the ocean. They were published in Harper's Weekly from the 1850s through the 70s. One etching is called Dad's Coming. Here's Newport Art Museum Exhibitions and Collections Manager, Jeff Foy.
You know, this is a young child sitting on a rowboat and a mother holding, presumably, that child's younger sibling. You know, this is a very common moment from life, but the composition is elegant. There's a stability, the seas are calm. You know, there's an elegance, or like a, you know, this is a nice moment.
Once you walk past the etchings, you'll enter the gallery and see a gigantic painting of a whale on the opposite wall. It's 9.5 feet tall and 28 feet long. The whale's underwater, but near the surface, with its tail stretched up just touching the surface. The whale is covered in a plaid pattern, worn down in some places, completely torn in others. Sean says the plaid is a reference to the work of surrealist painter René Magritte.
For 1 year of his life, he made really atypical paintings. They're loose and crude. And he was at that time kind of recognized all over the world as the leading surrealist, but André Breton and the crew in Paris didn't accept him at the time. So he kind of wanted to ridicule them. And so he made these slapdash paintings, which I think are fantastic.
One of those paintings from 1948 is called L'Estropiat, and it depicts a man with three noses, each covered in plaid.
So it's easy to see the jump from plaid noses to a big plaid whale nose, you know. But the plaid also began to signify for me a year of artistic freedom in this. An artist who was already, I think, very free, but he even went further. And the plaid began to symbolize for me to keep it loose and free and don't be afraid to change and follow your heart, which is where always the best art is made for all artists.
It's a dark scene, underwater with only a little light getting through. It's somber, but the plaid relieves some of that somberness until you get a little closer and notice all the harpoons stuck in the back half of the whale. Of course, the piece also draws inspiration from the Herman Melville novel.
What is my white whale? Well, it's making art that they hope will survive time and go on without me. So the harpoons began to symbolize every sort of painting I make is an effort to make a lasting work that will survive. And the question is, will it? In Moby Dick, the whale wins and the boat goes down. I hope my fate's better.
The gallery has a few of Sean Landers' other paintings with maritime themes. There's a couple lighthouses, whale skeletons washed up on the shore, and two underwater scenes on the ocean floor that each show a shipwreck in the distance. And in the foreground, there's a stone with an inscription. Jeff Foy from the Newport Art Museum read one for me.
Is there any beating death? Is art humanity's best answer to death? No art will truly last forever. So is all art just another broken harpoon in the back of an uncaring monster? What's great about this exhibition is that it has layers where it can be just, I'm enjoying this painting of a lighthouse, which is something I already know that I like. I like lighthouses. These are terrific lighthouse paintings. I like whales. It's a terrific whale painting. But there's also issues of creativity. There's issues of the artist's personal psychology. There's a lot of layers should you choose to spend some time and really engage with the paintings. They're very rewarding.
Sean Landers' Lost at Sea is on display at the Newport Art Museum through the end of the year. A few blocks away from the Newport Art Museum, the Newport Historical Society is showcasing Newport 1775, Whose Side Are You On? For most history classes in school, you probably learned about this period from the perspective of those who supported American independence. But there was a large number of colonists who were against independence, the loyalists who were loyal to England. This exhibit puts their stories right next to the stories of patriots, those who believed in independence. Rebecca Bertrand is the executive director of the Newport Historical Society.
Throughout the exhibition, we are profiling the lives of six individuals through each of the kind of sub-themes. So we're profiling Aaron Lopez, Caesar Babcock, Charles and Kitty Dudley, John Wanton, and Solomon Southwick, because this exhibition really focuses on individuals' lives and the choices that they made leading up to the American Revolution. And so some of them are patriots, some of them are loyalists.
As you walk into the museum space, you'll see a street scene with silhouettes of figures in the windows.
And this whole vignette is meant to be walking down the street in Newport, what one window and one door might be like. You know, right next to a patriot might be a loyalist, and next to another patriot or two loyalists in a row, really divided families, divided communities. And you can push these buttons to hear different reactions to the war.
My son went off to join the militia this morning. I hope he comes back all right.
The exhibit includes many touch screens for visitors to explore the stories of six Newporters who lived through this time. But one of the centerpieces of the exhibit is an enormous old printing press that was used at points by both loyalists and patriots.
Yeah, if you think about the power of the media, the power that you guys have to shape minds and opinions, it's the same thing in the 18th century. The power of this piece is incredibly influential to shape minds, opinions. If you have the authority to be teaching people what is happening, not just in Newport, but around all of the colonies, you have the ability to shape the times, to shape opinions. And I think, you know, particularly the patriots were especially effective at this, and they used it essentially as a means of propaganda.
You can even read some of the old newspapers for yourself to see how the conflict was portrayed to the public.
There's also an attempt that we've made to try to talk about the emotions that people are feeling during the revolution and to try to tie that to contemporary day. Really challenging people to think about issues that you might risk your life for, because if you think about the American Revolution, we think about it now like it's a done deal. But that wasn't decided in the 18th century. They thought, you know, maybe patriots are rebels. And so we're really trying to make visitors to this exhibition understand that it's a really emotional choice. And by doing that, by kind of putting in some thoughts and feelings from other major world events, the Civil War, the Tulsa Race Massacre, tied to the Revolutionary War, these kinds of emotions of war are something that is felt throughout the generations.
At the end of the exhibit, you can pick which side you would have chosen in 1775, but it's not as easy of a decision as you might think. You can see Newport 1775, Whose Side Are You On? At the Newport Historical Society now through December. And you can find more of Artscape at thepublicsradio.org/arts. And thanks to our community engagement reporter, Paul C. Kelly-Campos, for production support on this episode. For The Public's Radio, I'm James Baumgartner.